BBC.
Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1 free downloads. Download them all for free at the Radio 1 website.
On today's Scott Mills Daily Podcast, Jack Garrett plays Real or No Real after his stunning live lounge earlier. Martin Roberts off of Homes Under the Hammer gives us the real talk on Justin Bieber's house in LA. Is it really worth all that money? And how's our listener James getting on at hiring a PA just to do his Tinder?
Scott Mills.
BBC Radio 1.
Our leader there with Bad Blood.
This is Scott Mills.
BBC Radio
1.
Is she still our leader? Do we think? I mean, she was strongly our leader for a while. I don't know how I feel. Is she still top dog? Wretch 3-2 before that, All a Dream. And this is Scott on Radio 1. Hope you're okay today. The internet has gone crazy. The comments about Jack Garrett in today's live lounge are so positive. Joe in Hastings says, I want to marry this man, he's so good. Yasmin in Essex, I know a lot of people say this, but it actually gave me proper actual shivers. Like, ugh. Ben says, Jack Garrett is brilliant, it's like he's eaten a hyena. He does have the best laugh. A true talent, says Ben. He constantly amazes me. He was so good today. We'll get it on BBC iPlayer later. And Jack's going to play Real or No Real with us at 3:40, which I'm looking forward to.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
Now, often people are like, what happened to this person that appeared on the show? Or what did that girl ever say? Or, you know, like, sometimes we should do follow-ups for stories that we do. So we're going to do one today. Do you remember a few weeks ago, a couple of weeks ago, maybe we spoke to a guy called James, who was looking for a Tinder PA. He's kind of bored of doing all the awkward small chat that you have to go through at first when you go on Tinder and meet someone. Hi, how are you? I'm fine. Great. What are you up to? Etc. He wants to cut all that out and just go to the dates. So he's looking for a Tinder PA. We're going to have a little update, a little catch up with him a bit later on, see how that's going.
This is
BBC Radio 1.
Scott Mills.
If you remember a couple of weeks ago on the show, we were talking to a guy called James who was looking for a Tinder PA. So the idea is the PA goes on his Tinder, does all the awkward small talk of like, hi, how are you? What are you up to? And then James just goes to the dates. I mean, I was the first to question whether this is morally dubious, but James didn't seem to worry about that. And he's back on. Hi, James.
Hey, Scott. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, good. Good speaking to you again.
Oh, we're doing awkward Tinder small talk now.
Well, yeah, let's get through that. Let's go straight to the juicy bit.
Right. So you were looking for a PA. I thought you were going to hold some kind of auditions. Have you done that? Have you got one now?
I was looking at it, but I found a little bit of complication where anyone that I wanted to get, I'd have to give them access to all of my previous chats. So I wasn't totally comfortable with that.
Right.
But yeah, I'd have to probably set up a new profile. It's probably more work to swipe them all than right. It is to actually message them. So that's on the back burner. I'm just thinking about ways around that, but not yet.
Right, so no joy as yet. It's actually becoming a bit more hassle than you thought, isn't it?
It is, yeah, it is. But I've had a few dates recently. Not great.
Okay. Why not great?
So, do you want me to tell you the story?
Well, is there one in particular that's good?
There's probably about two that I can think of that jump out, but I can tell you one of them if you want.
Okay, yeah, you tell me one of them.
All right, so I'll set the scene a little bit. So, imagine that you met someone. I actually met this person out, so it wasn't Tinder related.
Okay.
So, we met in a bar, we got chatting, we exchanged numbers. And then we arranged to kind of meet a week later or so. They was going to come to mine and I was going to cook them dinner.
Okay, so the first date, they were going to come to you and you would cook dinner?
Yeah, yeah.
Is that too full on for a first date, James?
Well, you know, my plan wasn't for it to be full on. But okay. Let me explain a bit more. I cooked dinner. I had some chicken with some mushroom sauce.
Lovely, yes. Lovely. Yeah.
So that was great. We had a lovely dinner. And then after dinner, he said, can I have a little tour of the house?
So this is weird.
Okay, well, all right, let's go along with this.
So he wanted you to give him a tour of your house?
He wanted me to give him a tour of my house, yeah. So I thought, all right, I've heard weirder things.
Was he trying to reenact an episode of Come Dine With Me?
Maybe, yeah.
Was there some entertainment as well?
We'll score each other at the end.
Okay, so you've had dinner and then you're like, yeah, sure, if you want a tour of the house, you can do that.
Yep, so we go upstairs and I say, oh, this is the bedroom. And then he goes, oh, okay, so I've got a little surprise for you. So you need to wait out here, and I'm going to go in your room, and you can't come in for about 15 minutes.
What's going on?
And the bit I didn't mention is during this tour, he actually was carrying his bag around, and his bag was a little bit bigger than you'd expect for someone who's only supposed to stay in one night. So I was thinking, okay, well, fine, it's a bit weird.
Oh, he was going to stay the night, was he?
Well, on the first date as well, James.
Okay, so he's got quite a big bag with him.
So then he goes in there, and then I wait outside.
And you're fine with this. What are you thinking at the time?
Well, I didn't want to be rude, you know. I mean, it's, you know, I wanted the date to go well and that kind of stuff. So I just thought I'd go along with it.
Now, James, we are on the radio now. Are you sure this is fine to say for the next bit?
Well, yeah. So, I mean, 10 minutes went past. So by 10 minutes, I was starting to think, okay, I mean, part of me thought he might be stealing stuff because he had a bag with him. I thought I was going to be ransacked.
Was he wearing a stripy top?
Oh, yeah, that should have been the giveaway.
Okay.
So then, you know, 10 minutes, I'm like, okay, fine. So then eventually the door opens. And then the first thing I notice is the lights are off and the lamp's on. So, you know, he's kind of set the mood, a bit romantic.
Okay.
I was like, okay, fine, cool. And then the next thing I see is rose petals scattered across the whole floor, the bed, and everywhere else you can imagine.
Oh, my God.
So then I'm thinking, okay, all right, that's interesting.
What, so they're everywhere, are they?
They're everywhere. And then the next thing I notice is there is he brought, like, his own kind of last dish with him. So he had this dish, and it was full of strawberries kind of piled up like Ferrero Rocher.
So he bought his own glass dish?
Yeah.
And there's strawberries in that?
And then next to that was some spray cream.
Some what?
Some spray cream.
Oh, like squirty cream?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So I think I must have pulled a bit of a funny face because he looks at me and he's like, oh, sorry, is this too much? Is this too much?
But what do you think?
I didn't want to be rude. So I went, no, it's lovely. It's really nice, you know?
So, James, you're basically telling me that he's laid out all the ingredients of a trifle?
Yes.
In your bedroom?
I'm not sure what the main ingredient was going to be.
Right, I don't really want to know anymore, James, apart from, have you seen him again?
Unfortunately, that was the last time we saw each other.
Right, okay. Maybe a little too intense for a first one, eh?
Well, I was thinking the next one might just be, just might go straight for a marriage or something.
It must have taken you ages to clear up all those petals.
It did. It was a nightmare. Let's get a Hoover out after.
I bet you were finding them for like weeks afterwards, weren't you?
Yeah. It's like, you know, they're in your shoes one day or something.
You're at work, it's like, what's that? Oh, nothing. Something just falls out of your shirt. Okay, well, I'm enjoying your dating stories, James. If you get any more slightly weird ones, let me know. And keep me up to date with the how the Tinder PA is going as well.
All right, will do. Good speaking to you, Scott.
Love you, bye.
Love you, bye. The Scott
Mills Daily. Hello, Hannah on Twitter. It says, oh my, this lad on Scott Mills telling his first date story is not helping my nerves for my date tomorrow. Yeah, but Hannah, that's not going to happen, is it? Oh, the rose petals aren't going to be on, and the glass dish, and the strawberries, probably. Also, and a lot of people are saying this, if someone came round to your house for the first time and was like, okay, can I be left alone in your bedroom for 15 minutes? Would you really say yes?
The Scott Mills Daily. Call me on
my celebrity advice line.
I'm finding it quite hard to get my head around this, but tomorrow morning, Lady Gaga, actual Gaga, will be hosting the Radio 1 Breakfast Show with Nick Grimshaw. So it's a co-host. They're doing the show together. She'll play her brand new single as part of New Music Friday. You'll be able to watch the whole thing as it's happening on the Radio 1 website. I know, like, tomorrow morning you'll be going to work or college or whatever, or school, but you can watch it on your phone. Just wherever you can get a screen, put Radio 1 on it. Gaga will also take part in Celebrity Advice Line tomorrow. Have you heard this? Grimmy gives you the opportunity to just share some of your thoughts and dilemmas with the biggest names in the world. Here, for example, is what one listener said to Ryan Reynolds when he was on.
Well, I've had quite a bad problem, actually. I've had semi-permanent eyebrows done, which was very painful. Mm. And unfortunately, the girl has completely messed them up. And I've got one that is thicker and higher than the other.
Oh, oh.
Because if there was anyone that could answer that question well, it would be Ryan Reynolds off of films. this is a ridiculous opportunity. Like, you won't get to do this again in your life. So if you've got a dilemma or if you've got a bit of stress in your life and you need Lady Gaga's calming voice to help, text 81199 now and we might call you back and you'll actually speak to her on tomorrow's show. This is insane. So any dilemmas, any stress, Gaga can sort it on the Celebrity Advice Line tomorrow. Text 81199 now. We might call you back.
BBC Radio 1. The Scott Mills Daily. 1.
Hello, Luke, who is in Gatwick. He says, thinking of having a meat feast for dinner tomorrow. Reckon Lady Gaga would go pork chop or lamb chop? Not really a dilemma, is it? But keep them coming in. It's Celebrity Advice Line tomorrow with Gaga on the Radio 1 Breakfast Show. Ridiculous. Right, who has seen the video of Justin Bieber's house? You know, I've said this for a while now. I generally am obsessed with looking at pop stars' houses on the internet. I can spend hours doing it at a time. And I saw this to Grimmy, I think, a few weeks ago on his show. Avicii's is my current favourite. It's really good. Check it. Anyway, Justin Bieber's house. They filmed it when Clara went round to his house for the live lounge. Someone's like, why are you saying the grounds of his house? Obviously, it's just his garden. Okay, well, go and have a look at the house on BBC iPlayer. It's on the Radio 1 channel. Not just a garden. There's a lake with a boat in it. On the surface of it, I mean, when you see it and you'll see Clara being shown around, it looks like a pretty decent place. I mean, it's clean, it's nice, there's plenty of room, and it probably costs quite a lot. But what do I know? I know absolutely nothing about the world of property. Someone who does is TV's Martin Roberts from Homes Under the Hammer. So just after 3 this afternoon, we're going to get Martin on and just give his, you know, honest Homes Under the Hammer style overview of Justin's house in LA and any problems that Justin may face with the property in future. Martin Roberts on with us at 3:10 today.
The Scott Mills Daily.
This is the best text that I've been sent this week. It's Hayley says, wow, you guys are really going on about the Biebs house a bit, aren't you? We get it. He lives in a massive house in California. There's a lake. There's a boat. And we all live in bedsits and eat beans on toast for dinner. It's a wonderful life. Go and look at it, though. It's incredible. Gary's been on saying, if you love looking at celebrities' houses, which I know you do, Mills, the latest one that I've been looking at, because he's got the same obsession, is Mary Berry's. I do find it quite weird that you can literally just go online now and search anyone's house and it's kind of there. I mean, we don't know if it's theirs for sure, but okay, I'll look up Mary Berry's tonight. Thanks very much for your input there. In 1 hour or so from now, Jack Garrett is going to be with us playing Real or No Real. Incredible live lounge from him earlier.
The Scott Mills Daily.
I'm a bit obsessed with the video on the Radio 1 iPlayer channel at the moment, which is Clara Amfo looking round Justin Bieber's house. It's not really like a whole programme. They just put a camera on her and filmed her being shown round the grounds by Justin. It's almost like they didn't ask him permission and just filmed it. On the surface, it does seem like an amazing place to live, but I'm no property expert. Someone that is housewife's favourite, Martin Roberts from Homes Under the Hammer. Do you remember when Theresa May moved into her new house, number 10 Downing Street? Everyone got bogged down with the politics of it. We just wanted Martin's honest opinion of what she'd let herself in for with this house. So to get an honest overview of Justin Bieber's house, here is property legend Martin Roberts. Hi.
Hey, hey. You're too kind. Hello, Scott.
How are you?
Very good, yes. Feeling slightly, what's the word, underplaced in my position in life when you look at properties like this. It's difficult not to go, I want one of those.
Yes, Martin, your initial thoughts, please, on pop prince Justin Bieber's Hollywood house.
Well, I have to say, I was expecting to rip the whatever out of it. However, I think it's remarkably tasteful. I mean, it reminds me of New England properties, all the white clapperboards and the grass and all kind of stuff. I mean, he's only renting it, right? That's really important. So he hasn't actually bought this place, and I don't think he's done anything to it, because it is remarkably tasteful, actually, for a pop star kind of palace. But what I think is really interesting, like any 22-year-old has done, and so he's got the things like the basketball court, and he's got the... you know, the private mooring for a little boat, and he's got a games room, and all those things that any 22-year-old would really love to have.
Absolutely, and then there's the lake, and then the nice swimming pool as well.
Yes, absolutely. Everyone needs an infinity pool. And, of course, a lake. Yeah, well, absolutely. Don't you live by a lake?
I don't.
He has actually chosen the neighbourhood over, as to have done the classic thing, location, location, location. So he's in the Toluca Lake neighbourhood, which is a dead posh bit of Hollywood. But, you know, again, I'm slightly surprised because I expected it to be a little bit more bling, but it's not as blingy as you might imagine.
No, it's quite show home.
He's very show home. I mean, can you imagine cleaning that? I mean, I don't suppose he's down there with his Dyson, you know, hoovering around on many days of the week.
No.
And he's got pets as well. But he's even got matching pets, you see. Everything's white and green, and his pets are white. So I think he's thought it through, because he's probably got white carpets. There's nothing worse than, like, dark pet hair on carpets.
You can see the video of Clara being shown around the grounds of Justin Bieber's house on BBC iPlayer. Have a look for yourself. Martin, he's only renting the property, and it's understood that it's $80,000 a month. Is he being stung there?
Well, I work this out. $80,000 a month. That's like £750,000 a year. I mean, that is an unbelievably massive amount of money. I mean, it's the sort of thing that would get you a sort of multi-million pound mortgage. And he's in that thing, isn't he? Because he's travelling around the world. He's a bit of a, you know, he hasn't settled. So he hasn't quite decided whether or not to do the whole put your roots down, buy a house, buddy. He's in that kind of rental dilemma, and he's paying the price. But imagine that, $80,000 a month, £60,000 going out before you've even started. I mean, you're going to have to do some seriously big gigs just to cover that.
Yeah, but I think he is. Martin, obviously he's a pop star, so he probably won't leave the place in great order. Do you think he'll get his deposit back?
You know what, you look at him, does he look like the sort of person that will trash a place? I mean, I know, you know, a bit of a reputation here and there, but, you know, he looks proud of this place. I mean, if you look at the video of him wandering around, he's genuinely like, you know, I can't believe this is my kind of place. So he isn't doing the whole, you know, throwing televisions out of hotel windows kind of pop star rubbish. You know, I mean, it's great. One thing I love...
What would the deposit be on something like this, Martin?
What was what, sorry?
What would the deposit be on something like this that he paid, he put down initially?
Do you think they weighted his deposit knowing who he is? It's like, well, you know, normally it's 1 month's rent and possibly another month's rent as well. So you're looking at $150,000 deposit.
Right.
Does he really care? And will he get it back at the end? Probably. I love the story. I don't know if you saw it, read it a few weeks ago, though, of how the fact he was in Subway and his credit card was declined.
Well, this is why he's paying out the rent.
Exactly.
I think the rent would have gone out that day.
Exactly. And the homeless man apparently bought him his lunch in Subway. Well, one of the big things about this house is it's got an absolutely enormous barbecue. So I jolly well hope he invites that homeless man to his house, gives him a barbie and cooks him a few things to say thanks for buying me Subway, buddy.
Martin, let's say that Justin really likes this place and eventually decides to buy it. Any tips on how he could add value to it?
Well, you've got to be very careful, haven't you? I mean, it doesn't have enough storage for the lots of amazing cars, I would say. So I think he could probably dig down, put some amazing sort of storage facility for all those sort of Ferraris and things like that that somebody like this would potentially want. Couldn't see a helicopter landing pad. You could stick those on the roof. Now, I wouldn't say for a semi in Stoke that either a place to store your Ferraris or a helicopter landing pad would necessarily add value. But in this case, I think it probably would. I have to say, I think it's pretty much nice as it is. It's almost one of these ones you leave well alone.
Right. OK, so not much to do to it. Just maybe a helicopter landing pad and dig down for the car storage.
Exactly.
Excellent. Martin Roberts from Homes Under Hannah, thank you very much for your... well, you're the only view that really matters about Justin Bieber's house in Los Angeles.
You're a good man.
Thanks, Martin.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Good afternoon, Jack Garrett.
Hi!
Now, what's that voice? Is it a nervous voice, scared voice?
It's all of them and everything. It's my everyday voice, yeah.
Hi!
Constantly terrified and always surprised.
You said that you were shaking earlier in the live lounge.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a nervous one today. The reaction has been unfathomable. It has been unbelievable. I kind of, every time I've come back and done it, I have just not known what to expect, not knowing whether people are going to get into it or not, but...
I find that you, just from seeing your Twitter and social media, I find that you, this happens to you a lot, where you're like, why are people loving this so much?
Yeah, I still, to this day, will talk to my tour manager. A shout out to Molly, my tour manager, who hates me giving her a shout out. It's fine, she loves
it. That's why you do it, yeah.
Exactly. I always say to her, I'm just terrified no one's going to come to my shows. Absolutely, every single time. Even if it's a sold out show, I will still be sitting there being like, no one, why? What, people might just go and do something else.
Oh, no.
I just can't. But I just, because for me, I think part of it is knowing that in that case, I can go out and be there with the crowd. Like I'm as unsure about the evening as everyone else is, even though I kind of have done the show 1,000 times and know what's going to happen. Mm. I only know as much as putting my foot out onto the stage. That's kind of all I know. After that, it's up to whatever, really.
Oh. Yeah. Do you have stress dreams about this? You're living the stress dream.
I think that's it. Yeah. It's not so much I'm living the dream, I am living the nightmare. No, I love it. I honestly do. I'm a stressful person. I'm the son of my mother and I love her dearly, but I am very, very...
like, a ball of stress.
Yeah, pretty much all the time. Yeah. But it's how I function. It's how I do it. It's kind of actually how I relax in a weird way.
Right, got you.
Yeah.
Well, we loved it. Thank you very much for coming in today. And yeah, Jack is now going to play Real or No Real with us. It's a selection of facts. Some of them are absolutely made up. Some of them could be true. Which is which?
Geordie Shore star Charlotte Crosby insists on taking her own pot of gravy on dates.
You know Charlotte Crosby's work, do you?
Charlotte Crosby's work. Big fan.
Geordie Shore. Tours along.
A lot of hours hanging around. Big fan.
So it says here that she is taking her own pot of gravy on dates.
On dates?
Yeah. So she'll go to a date and she'll be like, hang on, maybe she doesn't trust the gravy in the restaurant.
Because that insinuates that she will only eat gravy necessary dishes.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I'm not sure if I believe that. What if she's gone out and she's having a lovely, like, salad or something, a nice chicken Caesar.
Put the gravy on.
Sorry, two seconds, love. I'm just going to get the gravy out. I'm not sure if I...
Also, people that carry condiments in the bag.
Hey,
I'm
right?
not keen.
I'm not.
I
no,
don't know. Just, apart from Beyonce.
Yeah, well.
That's
maybe,
allowed.
Maybe.
I do know that Charlotte's been on a show recently called Celebs Go Dating. This is probably something that you don't watch.
Maybe. Mm. Possibly.
There's a lot of celebrity dating shows at the moment.
Right.
As soon as you get a bit more famous, I imagine dating gets a lot tougher.
Well, I wouldn't know, actually, but I have been happy with my current situation.
For a long time.
For a very long time.
That's awesome. Okay. Well, let's not sign Jack up for Celebs Go Dating. Okay, so Charlotte Crosby takes her own pot of gravy to a date. Do you think that's real or not?
Not real.
Not real. I'm also saying no real.
That one is real.
No!
So, in a recent episode of Celebs Go Dating, which is the show we were talking about, where celebrities date normal people, it's actually
good. Hang out. Say that sentence one more time.
Okay, so you'll have someone like Brad from The Vamps.
Great.
Okay?
Yeah.
But then he'll be dating someone that's completely normal.
Right, so Brad from the Vamps, in this hypothetical situation, is not normal.
No, he's not normal.
Because he's going on a date with... A normal person. Right,
that's
okay,
right.
Cool. Okay.
You got it?
You lost me for a minute.
That's the premise of the show.
All right, I'm with you.
Anyway, Charlotte brought her own gravy, which she had lovingly prepared pre-date in a Tupperware box.
Maybe she knew what she was ordering.
Possibly. She said, the restaurant we're going to doesn't do a gravy side, which she does insist on.
There you go. There you go.
Here's our next fact.
BBC News at 10 presenter Hugh Edwards has been invited to join UK grime outfit Boy Better Know.
Probably not big into grime.
I'm going to say this might be true.
Why?
Part of me, in the very back of my, in the very, very nether regions of my head, just went, yep, right then when you said it. I don't know why. Something about Hugh. I mean, I don't know if you've seen the 10 o'clock news recently, but if there's anything more grime on the BBC, then I want to know what it is. But I'm gonna say I'm gonna say that's true. I think
that Boy Better Know want to sign him up.
Yeah. Well, not sign him up, but like, you know,
just a feature.
Just come out for a bit, right?
Do you get invited now to work with other people a lot?
Yeah, I do. It's been amazing, actually. And I'm getting in touch with a lot of people at the moment as well.
Do that personally or for... I always wonder this.
I do it personally. I kind of... The first couple of times, I wasn't sure because, I mean, I'm the most socially anxious person I know.
How do you do it? Just do DM them or something?
That's pretty much it. Yeah, really? Pretty much, that's it. Because, like, if you're following each other on Twitter, it's easy enough to just, like, chuck them a message. That's if it's them. And usually, look, what's been really nice, the people I've been collabing with are usually the people who are really into being in charge of their own kind of voice when it goes out to the public and stuff. So it's actually kind of easy to get in touch with them when you when you have that available to you. It's a great tool to be able to collaborate.
Okay, so Hugh Edwards, back to him.
Yeah.
Has he joined UK grime outfit Boy Better Know? Real or no real?
Real.
I'm saying this can't be real, no real.
That one is no real.
Oh!
Hugh Edwards has not been asked to join Boy Better Know, but Hugh did send Twitter into meltdown last night with his new catchphrase, which is this.
Sorry.
Right, let's talk about grime.
Oh!
So, come on. So he introduced a segment about the UK grime scene on News at 10 last night.
Good man. Good man.
And
good man.
Twitter was loving it.
Good man.
Right, let's talk about grime.
And finally,
to get a job interview, the most popular lie people write on their CV is that they are grade 8 on the piano.
See, I think the moment that you can play an instrument, you immediately become a lot sexier.
Which makes you sexy. Right, no, but here's right. So here's the thing. Let's look it down from an employer's from an employer's perspective. Sure. Right. Let's have a look. That okay. So what is it? So grade 8 on the piano shows dedication.
Yeah.
Shows commitment to a craft of some kind.
Yeah.
Shows discipline. Like learning a musical instrument, putting it on your CV, always a good thing.
It takes time because
it takes time, especially if you're grade 8. Because grade 8 is that's the top. The top scale.
Are you a grade 8?
No.
What?
No, not at all.
You're good at all the instruments.
Yeah, no, but I did some grades when I was a kid. I got to like, I was like, oh, I don't want someone to tell me how to do it. I want to do it. I was just that kid. I was sucked. But I love playing the piano. I don't know about
this. Would you put it on a CV? Not that you'd have to now.
I would. Well, okay, I'll come back in 5 years and ask that question again. I absolutely would, yes. If you have the qualification, put it on a CV, absolutely.
At a party, are you still the guy that brings the guitar out?
No, absolutely.
Are you not?
I'm the guy that runs away when that guy does it.
So you don't touch the instruments?
No.
It's like, that's what I do in my job. I don't really need to do that at a party.
You imagine like some accountant coming in for a party and just being like, oh, Barry's here, can you do these numbers, mate?
So is the most popular lie people put on their CV to get a job interview that they're grade 8 on the piano? I'm going to say yes.
I think I believe it. I think it's real.
That one is no real.
Oh!
But there is a story going around this week about a man who, on his CV, claimed to have mastered the piano at 15.
No.
But then they were like, all right then, do it in the interview.
No. What was the interview?
I don't know.
Welcome to our school. I'm glad that you're here to be our science teacher. By the way, I've noticed that on your CV it says that you're incredible at the piano.
Oh, here we go. So it's this guy who's not named, but he's been kind of ousted by his friend, Javier, on Twitter. And has genuinely been asked to perform a rendition on the piano in front of potential bosses this Friday.
What was the job?
I don't know.
A surprise, if there was an audition element of his job interview and that was a surprise, what was he doing?
I don't know. I want more details.
I really do.
But never lie on your CV.
Never, just don't do it.
At the end of that round of Real or No Real, I'm sorry to say, I win with 10 points.
Oh.
Jack Garrett, always a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
And thank you for a fantastic Live Lounge,
as always. Thank you so much. Thanks.
BBC Radio 1. The Scott Mills Daily.
Matt Edmondson is on tomorrow. Me and Chris are back Monday from 1 on BBC Radio 1.
Scott Mills. BBC Radio 1.